Hey everybody, it is June 8th, 2022. And regardless of the date, my name is Larry Jacobs, and this is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for being with us today, or perhaps on the archives. And you know, we archive everything over at astashed.org. That's our home website for a consortium for equity in education. Excuse me, let me cough this out. That one caught up to me unexpectedly. Sorry about that. Feels like there's more in there. All right, but at any rate, we archive everything over at ace-ed.org, our home website, which also links over to teacher-retention.com, our awards in our Excellence in Equity Awards program, and also to seltoday.org, which is the resource center we've created for educators in pre-K-12. Okay, about social-emotional learning, which we believe has an awful lot to do with equity. And on that note, I'm so happy about this. We have Castle with us today. That's right, the Collaborative for, let me get this right, the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning, CASEL. We're going to the Castle today. And we've got the queen, the princess of Castle with us, the one and only Melissa Schlinger. And Melissa is their VP of Practice and Programs over at Castle, and a delightful person, and she's with us for the first time today. Are you there, Melissa? Are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Larry.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. How's Chicago today?
Chicago is gray and chilly, but hopefully just today.
Okay, I hope so, because I got good buddies from when I lived there. They told me they're playing a big round of golf tomorrow, so they're looking for good weather. I hope they have it tomorrow, not today. Right, whatever. And Melissa, welcome. It's just great to have you here. And by the way, I want to say that again. CASEL stands for the Collaborative for Academic Social Emotional Learning. All right. And what's interesting about that, everybody in education knows the CASEL standards and everything. Melissa, how many people that know what the word CASEL actually stands for, the acronym? What do you think?
Probably not that many. We at CASEL and in education, we're very fond of our acronyms, which sometimes can contribute to confusion.
Yes. So, again, the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning, the big gun in SEL, Castle, and Melissa's with us today. All right? And, you know, I'm going to start off with, and by the way, we're going to be working together with them over at SELtoday.org, and we love Castle, and we're just thrilled about working together with you guys, okay? It's just makes us feel so good, like we're really a part of something bigger with this SEL stuff. And on that note, I'm going to ask you the generic question. I'm going to see how long it takes to answer this. Why is it so important about SEL these days? There you go. There's the softball. Go ahead.
So SEL has obviously been important for a long time. CASEL has actually been around for 27 years, really with the focus of trying to help make SEL part of education for all students pre-K to 12. But most recently, SEL has gotten a lot of attention because we are now in this post or sort of mid-pandemic world, which brought a lot of spotlight to issues of mental health. We've seen a lot of things happening in our country with about race relations, and all of these things have brought SEL to the forefront. And we know that the pandemic resulted in a lot of isolation, a lot of loss, a lot of grief, a lot of stress. Relationships were frayed, school routines were affected. And so social and emotional learning has never been more important than it is right now, as we are really trying to help our young people and, frankly, our adults feel, you know, return to that connectivity that they need, that sort of sense of belonging, and also really develop those routines and those skills that we need to cope, to adapt, to connect, to regulate, and to create, you know, the environment that we know is most healthy for all and allows us all to really engage in the learning.
Boy, that says it all, I got to tell you. And, you know, social-emotional learning. We ask teachers to teach social-emotional learning, quote, incorporate it into the work they do in all the subjects that they teach. All right? But somebody, I don't think it was you, but somebody said to me, you can't teach the piano unless you know how to play the piano. All right? And it's the same thing with SEL. Okay? We always say to teachers, teach SEL. But when you look at these past few years, all right, and I hate to bring it up, but it has to be, okay, we had the pandemic, okay, and then we thought we were kind of getting back into place, okay, and then a horror like Uvalde, Texas, okay, happens. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, there's an article, a front-page article today, June 8th, in the New York Times, front-page article about how stressed out teachers are as a result of all these things that are being piled on them. Not only that, but also the political side. You go to a school board meeting these days, it's not what textbooks should we use. It's a horror show. Everybody's screaming at each other for no reason, I might add, but they do it. Okay? And there's a lot going on. And we, like I say, you can't teach social-emotional learning unless you do it yourself. But so we have to take care of both teachers and students, and I want to stress that, okay?
Yeah.
That is just it's just incredible. How do you guys actually define SEL? You know, it's easy for me to say SEL, social emotional learning, and then but how do you guys define it?
So Castle actually coined the term social and emotional learning, and I think a lot of folks, especially
that
are listening to this, may be familiar with the Castle Wheel, which, you know, identifies the skills and environments that we know are important for advancing students' social and emotional learning and development. So in our wheel, what we're really talking about here is helping people of all ages better understand themselves, how they feel, how they understand themselves and the world around them, and also how they manage those thoughts and feelings so they can cope, manage stress, persevere, and develop agency. And it's also about how we work with others and how do we understand others and interact with others. How do we experience and create connection and belonging? How do we manage the interpersonal conflict? How do we work together on a team, even a team that includes members who may be different from us? And how do we together solve problems? So the Castle Wheel breaks these competencies into self-management and self-awareness, as well as social awareness and relationship skills. And the fifth area is responsible decision-making. And then talks about these five competency areas in the different environments in which they are promoted. So there's obviously teaching that happens in the classroom, but it's also about what's happening in terms of our environment and how those environments promote belonging, promote relationships, promote opportunities to practice interpersonal relationships and conflicts and those kinds of activities. So it's about the environments that we experience in our classrooms, throughout the school building, how we are connecting with families, how kids are experiencing SEL through every environment that they're in. It's not always just about teaching explicit lessons, but it's also about just promoting our social and emotional development in healthy ways in all these different environments.
Thank you. That was great. And I have to ask, way back in 1997, when Castle got started, and you were, what, 3 years old at that time, right? You were three? Is that correct?
No.
There you go. All right. So when you were three, okay, and Castle first started, how did the folks who put Castle together, the Collaborative for Academic, Social and Emotional Learning, everybody accepts your standards. How did they expect that to be, I'll say use the word, taught in the schools? What was their expectation back then? Did they see it as a separate subject, or did they see it as just everybody teaching whatever? How's that work?
Yeah, I think some of the early years of Castle are really important to understand in that there was a recognition that there was a lot of intervention science that was around in terms of how do you prevent violence, how do you prevent drug abuse, how do you prevent pregnancy, how do you prevent all of these different things and all these prevention programs. And the common threads that researchers saw throughout these was that
in order to prevent some of these negative outcomes, there are things that we can do to promote the positive development of our young people. So if you want to prevent the bad, we need to promote the good. So it's really very much an asset-based framework for understanding how to promote healthy development. And the initial sort of the best way for us to understand the effects of doing that was actually looking at the effects of explicit instruction and of instruction in those skills. But what we've learned over the years is that while explicit skill instruction is critically important, it is not the only way that SEL is promoted. And we know that, in fact, CAFL is promoting what we call STEMIC approach to SEL, which includes time and attention set aside for explicit instruction, but it also includes opportunities for weaving social and emotional competence development into our academic instruction. It talks, you know, we talk a lot about the climate and the culture and the relationships. We talk a lot about the adults and their own opportunities to model SEL and to actually deepen their own cultural competence and their own SEL competence. We talk about discipline policy and how that can promote social and emotional development. We talk about engaging with parents and community partners in ways that align our efforts and promote opportunities for SEL development. So we are really talking about infusing SEL into the system of a school or a district to have the best outcome.
And I would agree with that. That's the way I like it, that it's incorporated throughout. And unfortunately, I'm old enough, I remember health class, okay, which was taught by an idiot gym teacher, okay, who knew nothing and probably was 10 minutes ahead of us and taught us nothing, okay, because it made no sense, totally out of context in this classroom once a week, okay? It has to be incorporated throughout, so to speak, okay, and understood.
Right.
And I don't want SEL to be the goofy elective, okay? It has to be something that's incorporated. But on that note, again, we're talking about CASEL being formed in 1997, 25 years. By the way, happy 25th. Okay, I know you weren't there at the beginning, but happy 25th. You were only 3 years old, but happy 25th. Okay, but at any rate, okay, we understand, and at least for 15 years, we've known that SEL is important, okay? And I mean, everybody knew that, okay? It's become more important over the last few years, but everybody knew it was important. Where are we in terms of teacher or administrator education at the colleges in terms of them incorporating pedagogy or curriculum involving SEL? Because I'm asking, we're always asking teachers, let's teach SEL, but they don't know enough about it. It's not part of their pedagogy. Okay, so where are we in terms of the education schools and SEL, which, by the way, should have picked up on this a long time ago, if I do say so myself, and perhaps some have. Melissa?
Yeah, honestly, there is a significant lack of focus on SEL in the teacher pipeline, in the teacher prep programs. It's not to say that it doesn't exist in places, but it is woefully underrepresented in the requirements for preparing teachers. And we know that that is a big miss and something that we are really hoping will be prioritized in the future. There was a national commission on the social and emotional and academic development a few years back. This was one of their key recommendations, is to incorporate SEL into teacher prep programs. That said, there are a lot of programs and professional learning opportunities and more that schools and districts are offering so that teachers understand how to be thinking about their own social and emotional learning, how to provide SEL instruction either explicitly and also how to create instructional practices where they are promoting SEL all day. And that might mean, for example, something as simple as regular use of cooperative learning structures. So instead of, that means like group work, partner work, those things by design can promote opportunities for our young people to learn how to work together, how to problem solve together. how to do a peer inquiry. And depending on the age of students, there are different ways that you can do project-based learning or opportunities to work together. And it also is about intentionally focusing on, you know, thinking about how can I be promoting SEL through my academic instruction in other ways too. So for example, if I'm teaching about history or if I'm looking at literature, how do I lift up the perspectives of different characters or figures in history to understand their motivation, their thinking, and develop, you know, sort of working on that empathy muscle? How do I examine the effects of certain actions on different groups of people so that we're really looking at the perspectives of many different places? These are ways in which we can really develop our social and emotional learning skills while better understanding the content that we're engaging with. So there's lots of opportunities to be promoting SEL both explicitly as well as throughout our instructional practices.
That was really a great answer. Thank you. That really answered a lot of my questions. Okay, that was a good one. Okay, I love this. Right, I'm serious because a lot of teachers, and I think I would be one of them back in the old days. If I heard, oh, by the way, now incorporate SEL, I would have done the old teacher eye roll. Here we go again.
Right.
Okay, what is this? I don't even know anything about it. I'm a history teacher. I'm a math teacher, whatever. What am I supposed to do here? But when you break it down into the skills, rather than what calling it something, the skills that embody SEL, okay, it changes everything. And it's stuff we're doing every day, but we need to just understand how it impacts and to look at it through a slightly different lens. Okay,
right.
And it's going to make all the difference in the world. Okay, it really
right.
is. Now, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go.
Well, a key for that is being intentional and not haphazard about how we are promoting SEL, and also recognizing like what is developmentally appropriate. So, for example, the empathy for a 6-year-old or even sort of stress management for a 6-year-old would be very different than for a 10-year-old or 15-year-old. So really understanding child development and sort of what is developmentally appropriate, that can be a lot for teachers to understand how to do this all the time. And,
That's right.
And actually, we're really excited that more and more states have taken the time to identify guidelines of what students should know and be able to do with respect to SEL at every grade level. And I think 18 states have defined this already and more are working on this all the time, to be really clear. Plus, there's a wealth of social emotional learning providers who provide curriculum materials and classroom activities that are developmentally appropriate and proven to achieve results. So teachers don't have to make this up. There's a lot of work that's been done and a lot of research on the effectiveness of those programs. In fact, one of CASEL's resources is a program review, and our research team reviews SEL programs that are out in the marketplace to see which meet the criteria for evidence, so that schools can take an approach that includes an evidence-based program. So that's a really important strategy. And I'll be talking, there's so many resources on CASEL's website at CASEL.org that are free for teachers and educators and policymakers, including, you know, the state scan of who's got SEL guidelines and also this program review. Also, how do we define SEL, school-wide SEL, so the 10 indicators of school-wide SEL. How can we do a rubric to measure how our school is doing? There's even reflection opportunities for teachers if they want to see, like, what am I doing in my classroom that promotes SEL? And it's all free and on our website so that teachers have what they available to them.
CASEL.org, CASEL.org, the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning. I have to ask you this, you just brought it up, is there like a Good Housekeeping, a CASEL seal of approval?
So the program review does have what we call CASEL select programs that have demonstrated a high degree of evidence of effectiveness. So on that, as you can call that kind of a seal of approval, we also have what we consider promising practices that may not have yet reached the high bar, but that we see the instructional design is is sound, and that maybe they're a newer program or haven't had the research hasn't been complete. So all of that is part of CASEL's program review, and
Are they approved ones up on site?
Sure.
Where are they? Under what? Where are they here? I'm looking. Fundamentals. I'm looking at your website. Systemic implementation. Where are they?
No.
I want people to know this.
I'll help you find it. So if you go to the CASEL.org website, at the top right, you'll see something called CASEL websites, and there's selecting an SEO is one of the first things. And when you go to the program guide, then you can see like step one, step two, and step three, determine your SEL team and goals, connect your needs to our metrics, and then identify and compare SEL programs. And you can see the programs. This page will give you everything you need to know about programs, how to choose one that matches your community's needs and priorities. So, for example, some communities implement SEL as a key for improving climate and culture. Others are focused on mental health. Some might be focused on college and career readiness. So there's lots of different whys of how SEL and why SEL might be implemented. And so deciding what data you're going to collect to determine if your SEL program is working is a really important first step. And then choosing a program that's matched to the data that you're going to be measuring is also an important step. Sometimes people just implement a program without ever taking stock of why they've chosen that one or how it's been successful. CASEL advocates strongly for taking, you know, whatever data you're already collecting that you want to improve on and using a continuous improvement process to be regularly reflecting on how are we doing at reaching the metrics that we identified that were important for us to be achieving. So this part of our website will help with that process.
Excellent tour of what we needed to know because, you know, I talked to a lot of companies and they all say they're incorporating SEL into their curriculum because they recognize the importance of this, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to have a measure there, okay? Because I certainly am I'm the publisher of SELtoday.org, okay? I'm hardly an expert, okay? We just try to get what's out there, what we think works. This is really absolutely excellent, okay? And I hope people check that out.
The programs that are on our site, in order to be included in the program guide, they need to be SEL programs. There are a lot of core content area programs, math programs, reading that now are integrating SEL into the way they provide instruction. That you're not going to find necessarily all of those programs on CASEL's website because we're more focused on the explicit SEL. But that is a really important thing to be looking for
when you're choosing.
Adopting a textbook, does this math textbook, infuse SEL? And what that would look like, for example, is are there opportunities for group work where there is intentional opportunities to have students learn how to work as a group? Are there opportunities to help kids develop a growth mindset and self-efficacy, which is sort of jargon for do kids believe that they can get to the answer with hard work? There's teaching strategies to help them get that. And, you know, as parents, these are the things that we want. We want our kids to be resilient. We want them to work well in groups. We want them to persevere when they hit obstacles. So a math curriculum, for example, that includes that as part of the instruction on math is only going to help your kids be successful in math and be better prepared for real life. Because while they may not be asked to solve a quadratic equation in their job, they very likely will be asked to work with a group in their job and work, you know,
That's
whether
right.
their job is in the trades or, you know, whatever kind of job it is, there's very likely going to be collaborative problem solving as part of that job. And we want our kids to be able to be good team members and good problem solvers. So having a math curriculum that includes that as part of the instruction is really important, not just for math, but for life.
It sure is. And well said, Melissa. I got to tell you, it's so important. And I'm very involved with the education industry. Okay, and you said this used to happen a lot with equity. Okay, I would say to a potential advertiser or somebody we're going to work with, does your product include equity? And they'd say absolutely, without question, 100% yes. And I would look at them and I would say, well, how? Give me an example. And they'd look at me like I was like a deer in the headlights. Okay, what?
Right.
Huh? You know? And there's a big difference, I have to say this, okay, between a salesperson telling you, yes, it does, and it actually has it in there, okay? And I just hope that all the companies in education, and they do understand how important this is, okay, that they're looking to this, and I hope that somehow Castle can put out the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. And by the way, by even saying the Good Housekeeping seal of approval, I am showing everybody my age, because nobody under 40 understands what the Good Housekeeping seal of approval is. Okay, so it used to be a magazine. Yeah. It's amazing because you were born in 1993. That's amazing. But you understand that, you know, these days, to get a little more serious about this, and this is so key with what happened in Uvalde, we know the story. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're not going to get into that. Okay, there are social emotional learning. These kids, there was a child, I haven't seen it yet, but I know one of the kids involved just testified before Congress. Can you imagine that? Okay, and after that, and now testifying before Congress. Think of those two things together for a 10-year-old kid. Okay,
yeah.
It's beyond comprehension. And then to have to talk about all these things, and I'm sure all the legislators are very kind to the child. They don't certainly everybody understands that. But my point is, every kid in America, I'm sorry to say, knows what happened in Uvalde. Okay, they're not ostriches. They don't have their head in the sand. Teachers know too. Okay, put SEL into this horror.
Yeah.
And where do we go from there? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I don't want to overstate SEL as a fix for mental health crises, for example, right? So we know that by focusing on SEL, you can create protective factors. You can help build the developmental assets that young people need so that they have a strong foundation in place. And these things can mitigate against the effects of stress. When kids feel known, seen, valued by their peers and their teacher, when they feel a sense of belonging, when they feel like they have agency, when they feel like that they have the skills that they need to be successful, these are protective factors that can help us, especially during times of stress. So SEL plays a critical role, and teachers play a critical role in creating those foundational experiences so that our kids feel known and seen and connected to each other and to teachers. So let me just start by that. In terms of creating environments that are safe for our kids where they feel that way, we know that, you know, these school shootings are horrible, and they have tremendous impact and trauma, not just on the school community themselves, which is reeling from significant trauma, but really for school kids across America.
Right.
And so this is an important thing to pay attention to. How do we create those factors that can mitigate against this? That's number one. Number two, you know, when we look at perpetrators of violent acts, they often are expressing that they didn't feel known or valued. They often felt ostracized or bullied. They often didn't feel respected. They have a lot of anger. And so I think it's just an important reminder that it's really about reminding all of our schools to try to create systems within the school where we're less likely to see bullying, where we're more likely to see inclusion, where we have also strong relationships between adults and kids. So, for example, if a child senses that there's an issue with another child or another child brought a weapon to school, you know, one of the best ways to make that school safe is creating relationships where the child is likely to tell an adult.
Right.
In fact, those that is often how weapons are confiscated, is because a child who has a trusting adult says, I think that this happened. Sometimes that can even be more effective than metal detectors, which can fail, which can break, which can need to be manned, which a very determined child can certainly get around. So knowing that you create an environment where kids feel connected to each other, they feel connected to the adults, is a really important strategy, though not sufficient, to try to reduce these kinds of tragedies.
We have to do that. And you can call SEL, you'll like this pun, the mental detector.
Yeah.
I just thought of it. Yeah.
Actually talks about there's a hardware solution and there's a humanware solution. And they're an SEL department called the humanware department in Cleveland. And in fact, their SEL implementation sprang out of, sadly, a school shooting where they realized that a very troubled young person went to extreme measures, and they wanted to create systems that would prevent that ever happening from again. They realized that this humanware component was a critical piece to that, not just the heart.
Did I lose you? Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, good. You broke up right at the end.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
I tell you that the humanware piece is as important as the hardware piece.
Yeah, humanware in Cleveland schools. Do they have a director who handles that particular program? Do you know?
Yeah. Cleveland is one of 20 districts that partners with CASEL as part of our collaborating district initiative, which has been around for 10 years. And
I'm glad that I brought that up.
So 10 years ago, we really wanted to research the importance of a systemic approach to SEL. And so we started partnering at that time with 8 large urban districts to better define what that would look like and to understand if that was a feasible thing to do, given how complicated large urban districts are. And then if you could do that, what kinds of outcomes would you get for kids? So we launched that in 2010. And to be honest with you, Larry, we started with 8 districts because we assumed we were going to lose a few along the way.
Yeah,
and so
they
tend to keep more districts in the mix. But interestingly, not only did we not lose any, all 8 districts stayed together as part of that research study for not just 3 years, but the study continued for 6 years. And what was a really interesting outcome of that was not only were we able to define a systemic approach and see that it was positive outcomes, when superintendents left the district to go to a different district, which, as you know, is very common in urban districts, they took the priority for SEL with them because they had seen how that had really helped their school district improve. And so a great example is the superintendent in Austin, which was one of our original districts, moved to Atlanta Public Schools. Her name was Dr. Maria Starfin. And when she got to Atlanta, she got to a district that was reeling from a really tragic cheating scandal that you may remember.
Oh, sure.
And
of course,
felt strongly that in order to help this community heal and to help build that community and climate of trust, she wanted to bring the work that they had been doing in Austin with her to Atlanta. And so we ended up including Atlanta as our 9th district, even though they weren't part of the research study. And then sure enough, more and more districts, some of which were also superintendents that moved and then others that were also part of other research studies, sort of joined into that group where we could learn from them and help them learn from each other about what systemic SEL looks like. So to this day, 10 years in, all 8 of those districts are part of that. And we actually expanded up to 20 districts that serve as a way for CASEL to both promote social emotional learning, but really create an opportunity for them to learn from each other. And many of CASEL's resources on our website are based off of our learnings of working with these districts. So we have a comprehensive guide to school-wide SEL. We have a district resource center that shows what it looks like at the district level. These are all free resources that came from the learning of actually working on the ground with Cleveland and Austin and Atlanta and other districts, so that we were not just thinking in theory and in research, but but actually, what does this look like in practice? So CASEL really tries to put forth not just research-based practice, but practice-based research, so that we are really providing practical tools for the field.
And do you have it? I have to ask this. Okay, are you working with Boston or Baltimore? Are you working with
Baltimore? Yes, Baltimore.
Then
Boston
I want you
Baltimore.
To. Okay, you got Austin, Atlanta, Boston, Baltimore, Cleveland. This is as simple as you ready? A, B, C. Atlanta,
Chicago.
Boston, Chicago. There's A, B, C. Can districts join if their first initial is at the end of the alphabet?
You've got Dallas and Denver. There are many districts. You can learn more about them on our website. And I would encourage you, since we're talking about the website, also on that called CASEL website is district-wide SEL resources. One of the first things that we'll take you to is our district resource center, which is basically where CASEL houses everything know about district SEL work. So it shows what our framework looks like and how, and there are actually artifacts from those districts. So for example, if you are a new district and you're trying to figure out what would a SEL 101 presentation look like, or what would a parent newsletter look like, or what would a discipline policy look like, not only will we provide you guidance on those, but you can actually see artifacts from these districts so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. All of this is all available for free, and you can see it on the website for that is cfc.casel.org.
Yeah, and it's casel.org. And also, by the way, I would not have clicked on CASEL websites. Over in the right-hand corner is this little icon that says CASEL websites. Everybody click on that. Do yourself a big favor. Click on that, okay? Because there's a lot of stuff on there. I'm going to say two things to you. We got to wind down. One, next time we do a show, I would love to have one of those districts come on. Then we can do more.
Right.
But the next time, one or two of those districts come on with you, Melissa, and let's talk about what they did and get them shining on here. And then also, we didn't talk about it much today, and I know this. SEL has a lot to do with better academics. Okay, and we have to remember schools are there to teach kids academic subjects, okay, and all the other stuff that goes along with it. SEL makes a difference with that. Am I correct, Melissa? Am I correct?
That's right, yeah. Yep, the research shows that SEL can have a significant impact on academic performance, yes.
Right, and so I want to make sure, especially in this day and age, that we talk about that on an upcoming show. So I'm going to be in touch with you, and we're going to schedule more shows. This has been great. You were wonderful. Congratulations, and thank you. This was great.
Oh, you're welcome. Great to talk with you, Larry, as always, and I'll look forward to the next time.
It'll be soon, I promise you. Okay, so thanks, Melissa. Have a good day. Okay, enjoy
thanks.
Chicago, rain or not. It's one of my favorite places in the world. Okay?
Me too.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, I know. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody, VP of Practice and Programs for CASEL, CASEL, the Collaborative for Academic Social Emotional Learning, okay, CASEL.org, that's Melissa Schlinger, she's great. Okay, and Megan, by the way, over there, thank you, too. All right, and we're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. Check out what we're doing at seltoday.org, which is our resource center. Okay, and we're going to do more with CASEL. We love them. Okay, I'm Larry Jacobs. Check out everything we do at ace-ed.org. See you later.